God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. The Simple Action Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. All right. If anyone needs numbers or help connecting, send a chat to one of the hosts and we can help you with that. I will read the preamble and get us started. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contribution. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. It does not wish to engage in any controversy and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and to ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And tonight we'll be discussing steps 8 and 9, and I will be putting up the paragraphs that will be covered tonight here in a few moments. And please welcome our panel this evening. We have Alex D. and Leslie D. I will put up and read the first paragraph, which is on page 76. And then the panel will share for a few minutes on the reading and we'll move on with another reading and so forth. Trying to remember how to share my screen. I think it's in here on the Zoom somewhere. There we are. That's not what I want. Just bear with me one moment, folks. There we go. All right, steps 8 and 9, part 1, page 76. Now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all the persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris, which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning that we would go to any lengths to victory over alcohol. Probably there are still some misgivings. As we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt, we may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Let us be reassured. To some people, we need not, and probably should not, emphasize the spiritual feature on our first approach. We might prejudice them. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in, but this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and to the people about us. It is seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice to him and announce that we have gone religious. In the prize ring, this would be called leading with the chin. Why lay ourselves open to being branded fanatics or religious bores? We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message. But our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He is going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discoveries. And Alex and Leslie, which of you would like to go first?
I'm sure I'm the baby. I'll go first. I'm Leslie. I'm an alcoholic. Thanks for asking me, David. Appreciate it. Glad to be here with all you guys. You see some faces I haven't seen in a while, so that's really nice. My sobriety day is May 31st, 2008. I have a sponsor, and I don't have a home group right now because I'm the worst. And if I keep talking, I'm just going to make up a lie on why I don't have one. So just know I could be shopping around. But anyways, the reading, two things I'm grateful for real quick is the fact that I had a sponsor leading me through these steps. And then I remember one time being like super brand new. And just like confused about life and just like lost still, you know. And I remember being in downtown and I heard Jeremy B. share, you know, my main purpose in life is, he said, when I wake up in the morning, the day is already born. So my job is to see how I can, he just quoted this, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. And when he said that, that was like a breath of fresh air for me, because still to this day, sometimes I just get lost and I'm like, oh my God, I don't have a purpose. Or, you know, when I get in that real self-pity mode, like, this is what I always fall back on. I'm like, you know what, Leslie? Yes, you do. you know, today because of Alcoholics Anonymous, I have a purpose. You know, I get to show up for people at work. I get to show up for family. I get to show up for other alcoholics because that's what Alcoholics Anonymous gave me. It's given me a life that I get to go and live inside and outside of the room. And I am so grateful, you know. So every time I read that in a meeting, I always think about Jan, and I just, like, love it. But for me, my first experience with doing this, I was really freaking out. So my ego and, like, pride and everything was in the way of me to do this. Like, and my first sponsor was like, oh, my God, it's just for this. Just write some names down. And I was like, oh, okay, I can do that. You know, and I wrote the names. That was easy. And then I met with their before our home group and read her the list. And she's like, nope, bulk it up. I was like, oh, okay. She knew I was half-assing that. And then it happened twice after that. And then finally I got real with her. And I had the names, and we sat there. She's like, all right, this is great. She's like, now, you know, it's right beside it. Like, when are you willing to do this? And I was like, what? She goes, right beside the names, you know, now, never, or soon, something like that. And I was like, oh, okay. So I looked at all the names, and I just wrote up there, you know. And then I said them back to her. She's like, oh, wow, you don't have any nevers. And I was like, I could have done that. I could have had all nevers up there. But I mean, it was really, like, easy. It was me making it hard, you know. Really, it was all I had to do at first was make a list, you know. And then I looked at it, and then she told me to go pray, and that was hard for me to find that willingness, because I did not have that in the beginning at all when I got to this. Like, I think being on a 10 and 11 helped me see the importance of a God and the human that I still was. That way I could go out and do this, you know, because I didn't, like, complete this list and then go on with the steps. Like, the sponsors that I had, they knew if I froze on anything, like, I could have ran out the door, you know. So I'd do a few, and then, like, they kept me going, but they'd always, like, bring me back to this. For right now, I think all I want to say is, like, for this step, for these steps, you know, I'm so grateful that by this point I had a higher power that I could turn to in my sobriety to ask for that willingness and guidance for it. But more importantly, I'm so grateful that I had a sponsor to help me do this and to, like, do the jump back and forth, like, oh, okay, I'm gonna do this one. Now let's talk about it. But there's a lot more with what we have for tonight. So I'll be done right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Alex, you're up.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right, I apologize for that. I'm Alex, I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date's April 21st, 1993. I have a sponsor, and Buford Road Group on Wednesday night here in Richmond is my home group. And I sponsor guys, and I have a sponsor that I've had for a long time, a very long time. I'd like the readings that were chosen. And the first thing I think about was toward the end of the first part was, remember that we would go to any length for victory over alcohol. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. When the first time I went through the steps, you know, in the very early days, and I wasn't a newcomer to AA meetings, but I was a newcomer to taking the steps, you know. And, you know, by the time I had gotten into the steps, past step three, you know, I was hungry to have my life continue to change. I mean, it wasn't a bright light or a sudden experience, but I could tell inside of me that things were getting better, you know? So it's just, I wanted more AA. And my sponsor, you know, it's like the, you know, the dad at the pool with the kid, and he wants to teach him how to swim, and he just throws him in and says, swim, you know? But shows him how at the same time. You know, that was kind of my experience with sponsorship. But, you know, I was ready to do this, you know. I had, you know, done a fourth and fifth step. And so the bulk of my eight-step list came off of that. But there were things that, and I'm not to argue about what belongs where, this or that. I'm just telling you my experience. You know, there's stuff I forgot. There was stuff that would come up later. You know, it wasn't a one and done kind of thing for me. And, you know, the other thing that is really apparent to me reading this and based on my own experience is that, you know, this is the first, everything else I've done up to this point has kind of been within the confines of AA. you know, it was a little intimidating. My experience that it was a little intimidating to do a fifth step. You know, the fourth step, I knew all of that stuff. I didn't particularly like seeing it in black and white in front of me. Telling somebody, yep, that's, you, I'll call that a hurdle. You know, but now I got to go outside of AA and start cleaning this stuff up, you know, and it's showtime. And I don't think there's any chance or mistake that this, you know, directly follows step six and seven. I mean, that sounds ridiculous, but when you look at what it's saying, it's a perfect fit, you know? And I didn't recognize, I was not the biggest tornado in the world, but I didn't recognize the types of things that I had in ways that I had harmed people. You know, some stuff was real obvious. And then when I got to, you know, making these amends, it wasn't, none of my experiences had to do with sort of the second part of what we read, which was that, you know, somehow I'm going to introduce this God idea. And, you know, most of the people that I had to approach, it was either a straight up business proposition or it was family who already had this God thing long before I did. So what am I going to say about that? You know, I don't mind that it's there for a reason. It just was, it didn't play out in any of my events. I guess that's the fairest way to say it. So I'll stop there on the first two readings. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Alex. All right. I will put up the next two readings. Page 77. We don't use this as an excuse for shying away from the subject of God. When it will serve any good purpose, we are willing to announce our convictions with tact and common sense. The question of how to approach the man we hated will arise. And maybe he has done us more harm than we have done him. And though we may have acquired a better attitude toward him, we are still not too keen about admitting our faults. Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. It is harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret. All right, Leslie.
All right. With this one, and I just want to thanks for sharing, Alex, and being up here with me. I forgot, like, I'm always grateful. I'm just going to go back real quick, that first paragraph, you know. I never had a sponsor throw, and I'm not saying this is good or bad, but I'm just grateful for the experience I had. Like, I never had a sponsor ask me, like, that I remember, like, are you willing to go to any length? Because depending on the day, like, when they caught me, I would have been like, no. You know, because I was that angry newcomer that didn't know she was an alcoholic for a really long time, you know. And when I got here, I was still just like so confused on what I was doing and just barely believed in God and probably barely thought I was an alcoholic, that they didn't do that. They were just willing to like hold my hand and put it in God's hand when it was time, you know. But this, like, I really needed help with this, with making the amends. And with this paragraph, I don't ever remember, you know, getting all preachy with people when I would go to make amends, you know, because I was like, Alex, I didn't have this, like, I wish I had cooler stories, you know, like, yeah, I ripped off this guy for thousands of dollars. Maybe I don't wish that, but like, I wish I was cooler my amends than I actually am, you know. But like the first amends I ever made, it was right after I made that damn list, you know, and it's just like, oh, okay, I haven't seen people in like 10 years, here they all are, you know, like standing at a line in the 7-Eleven, like that's how it worked when I made my list. I was like, really? They're like lining up. But I made the list, and me and my sponsor were together one day, and I said, ooh, there's Brenda. That's who I need to make amends to. And she just looked right at me. She goes, oh, well, you better go hit your knees then. And I was like, what? And then she just like gave me the nod. And I was like, oh my God. And I went in this like back room in a store we were in, because we were in the mall in Elizabeth City, which is just like the hallway. So I went and hit my knees, and I did it. And I just like looked at my sponsor, and she just kind of like smiled at me. And I walked up to this woman, and I just do what I do, and was just like, huh, you know, all awkward. But I was just like, hey, I'm trying to live this new way of life. Like you hear people share in meetings. And I just remember me and this girl are the same age, you know. I wanted to make amends to her because of how I treated her in high school. Like, we were friends, and then all of a sudden, you know, I got restless, irritable, and then I just started treating people like crap. You know, and she was the first one on the list. Like, I really just, for no reason, started to just treat her badly, you know, and like, talk about her behind her back. Like, really, really great high school things that we do, you know. But for some reason, this always stuck with me, like, a decade later. And I walked up to her and I told her that, and she just like looked at me like I was crazy, you know, and I've got those looks a lot, so I'm kind of used to it. And she was just like, wow, okay. And that was really it. Like, you know, but the whole point of it was I was willing to do that in somewhat of a public place, you know, and I cleared my side of the street. And I mean, it was more than just like, okay. She said like, no, we're good, you know, and I offered to try and make it right or just do whatever. You know, make sure I didn't use the word sorry. But she just, I remember her just like shaking her head. She's like, Leslie, we're good. You know, and I was like, well, okay then. And just like walked away. You know, and that was the first amends I ever made. And like, I wish it was as cool as like the first fifth step I did. And like, had this like breath of fresh air, you know, and really felt like I did something. But I was like, oh God, this is, I still got more on the list, you know. But, one that I'm really grateful for, and I never think about, because this is also a gift, like, for me, and I hope everybody gets this experience, like, once I do this work, for me, the weight, you know, like, I don't, like, constantly think about it, like, it's all we've all talked about it, like, I get to look the world in the eye, you know, I don't have to duck around corners now, like, when I see somebody walk into a room, I don't know if y'all have that experience, but I know I do, I'm like, oh, God, there she is, I'm like, go run, you know, or, oh, God, did I do that, let me go run. But because of these steps, like, I get to, like, face people today, you know, and for me, that's a great thing, because I was the girl that knew, like, everybody's shoes when I got here, because I couldn't look anybody in the eye. But I remember I was about 4 years sober, and I wanted to make amends to this woman. Long story short, she thought I slept with her husband. I did not, but that's okay. That was her perception of the situation. And basically, thank God I had a sponsor, because she was like, you need to write her a letter. And I was like, okay, I'm willing to do that. And I did my version of this letter, and thank God I read it to my sponsor, because she was giggling the first three sentences in. And she was like, are you pointing the finger at her? And I was like, I guess so. Yes, I am. She's like, let's try this again. You know, I was like, okay. You know, like, what do I do? I don't know what to do. And long story short, my sponsor told me that, you know, I don't know. I've never been married. I don't know, like, the dynamics of a marriage and, you know, relationships and things like that. And how we worded this letter and, you know, whatever I ended up saying, because this was like 10 years ago. I don't remember exactly what I said. But I know if I didn't have my sponsor's guidance, like, that letter would have totally came off the wrong way, you know. But the point is, she's right. Like, I don't know the dynamics of a marriage. I don't know how that was perceived, like, you know, that situation. I knew my side of it, but that in that moment, that didn't matter, you know? And I really wanted to make this right, because, like, that woman kind of took care of me when my parents were getting divorced. You know, she was, like, kind of loving me, and I did, you know, was a drunk and, like, was the tornado. You know, it's a really great example of me being a tornado, wanting what I wanted. And, like, I sent that letter off, and I thought about it for weeks. And, like, the moral of this story is I never heard back from her, ever. And I haven't seen her since then. It's okay. She lives in another state. But the point is I was willing to do that. You know, I'm assuming that she got it. But this is how I think my God comes into play. You know, I sent it off, and I went about my way. Like, I kept doing the next thing that was in front of me. You know, and eventually, like, thinking about it, just went away until I was in a meeting, talked about it a minute. I'm like, oh, yeah, she never wrote me back. Oh, my God, her name is Brenda, too. I'm sorry if there's Brenda's in here. Don't meet me, I guess. But it's really weird. I never thought about that until now. But it doesn't own me. You know, just like the stuff in the fourth step Alex was talking about, like, that stuff doesn't own me. And, like, the steps, they really do help me with that. You know, like, I don't have all that garbage floating around anymore, like, it's gone, you know, and that's a real gift, because that's the stuff that makes me drink again. I don't know what might make me drink again, but I know that'll make me want to drink again. Like, those thoughts will come back of, like, wow, a new little piece of crap, you know, but because of this, like, I don't think that anymore or as strongly as I used to, you know. So that's all I got on this paragraph. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Leslie. Alex?
Hey, Alex, alcoholic again. Thanks, Leslie. That was fantastic. You know, two things with the in general with steps 8 and 9. You know, I had you know, my sponsor had told me to put my list together, and this is not his truth. I've heard it a bunch of times, but when I had my pecking order of the amends that I needed to make on my 8-step list, you know, it was arranged really for my own satisfaction. And I mean, at the top of the list were ex-girlfriends. And it's not that there were that many. It was just they were at the top collectively by name. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, well, what could I get out of this? You know, if I clean this up, and you know, my parents and family and stuff like that were on there too. But you know, it was vital, and I probably would have done it that way on my own. You know, it was vital for me to have a sponsor the entire time I was doing this stuff. And you know, today I could say that for every moment. You know, the other thing I wanted to say that's kind of an overall thing is I didn't come in here. You know, when we talking about God or referencing, or we're free to voice our convictions if it's appropriate, or when I had no relationship with, you know, nothing, zero, zip, you know, and the fellowship, sponsorship, the steps, the entirety of Alcoholics Anonymous, particularly as I started going through the steps, gave me this relationship with a God that I have today. And I'll be forever thankful for the talks about the making amends to people we don't like or we detest or we hate, you know, and all this other stuff. And I remember one amends, I'm just going to call it that because that's the type of thing that we're talking about, that I had to make even before I got sober. And that was, I was working for this guy and I had embezzled money from him. And it was a one-man show. Shop, and I got fired and all this stuff. And man, I'll tell you what, I will never forget having to call that guy from the Luckies out in Brander Mill. And I'm counting down 20, 19, 18, 17, you know, I've got to set up this thing, you know, and I'm like just buzzing, with nervousness, you know, and a lot of my financial limits, honestly, I had to clean up before I got sober. It was that or go to jail. And I mean, that's what I was being threatened with. But the big example for me in my own life, which has just been an absolute life changer for me, is the biggest thing I've ever gone through in sobriety is a divorce. And I was married for 14 years to a woman in AA. And I love her with all my heart. And we have a fantastic relationship today and a son together. And, you know, when I was going through that from near the beginning, that was the person that I hated, you know, and I acted like I hated that person. You know, it wasn't funny then, and it's not really funny now. But I mean, I couldn't believe, looking back, the depths of the things that I would say and my behavior. You know, if I could, well, not if I could, I'll just give you this one example. I reduced her to tears, made her leave my house when she was supposed to have our son, and then invoked her sponsor's name while she was leaving the house in tears, you know? And I mean, that's the kind of guy I can be, you know? So when it came time to clean that stuff up, you know, I didn't want to clean that stuff up, but I first had to see, you know, what it was that I had to clean up. So my sponsor, you know, took me back through the steps. We did inventory 6 and 7. I'm looking at this list and I've got a very clear idea up to that point of what I need to do. Now, I didn't get to do this all at once. But because of Alcoholics Anonymous and because of the things that it asked me to do, I don't want to say against my own will, but it felt like that. Against my own will, my behavior towards her changed, you know, and, you know, we met more than once to talk about these things. And, you know, I was able to, be very direct about what I'd done. It wasn't a bunch of hidden stuff from the past. It was all about my current behavior, and that kind of thing. And, you know, I got to tell you, it was tough. You know, I didn't, it's not that I didn't want to do it, but when you get kicked in the gut like that, you know, you don't want to run the risk of going another round. You know, I just want to walk away from the fight. And that's not really what AA asked me to do. I got to clean this up, and I don't want to clean it up. I mean, I do, but I don't, you know, but I've never had anything, short of getting sober, I guess the first go around to be more beneficial, to my well-being, our relationship, my son's well-being, you know, I mean, fast forward, because of amends, you know, I'm attending part of the reception of her marriage to her then boyfriend, you know, and this wasn't that long ago. And I'm enjoying being there, and I'm enjoying seeing his family, and I'm enjoying, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like kind of looking around, and I'm going, this is because of Alcoholics Anonymous, that I can be present among these people and not feel the least bit intimidated or the least bit afraid or any of that, you know, and totally wish them well. And I mean, it's just what amends has meant to my life is that I get to continue to live my life if I'm willing to make them. You know, if I don't, I'm going to end up shivering in a hole or holed up in my house, and eventually I will drink it, you know. And I just go back to what we talked about in the first session, if you will. You know, I remember I agreed I'd go to any length for victory over alcohol, you know, and there may be some timing to it. And that kind of thing. And I've sponsored a lot of guys, and I've had my own stuff. So I've seen up close a lot of different types of situations. But there's almost always something I can do about anything. I may not be able to do everything, but there's almost always. And that's best discussed with her. Thanks.
Thank you, Alex. All right, I'll put up the next section. Section 4, page 77. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell him that we will never get over our drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so. Never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. In 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we are calling upon admits his own fault, so feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. Our former enemies sometimes praise what we are doing and wish us well. Occasionally, they will offer assistance. It should not matter, however, if someone does throw us out of his office. We have made our demonstration, done our part. It's water over the dam. All right, Leslie?
Thanks, Mike. You have a really great voice, by the way. So this section, sometimes I just want to argue, you know? It's like being my part in the fourth step. I'm like, but they did this, you know? Or like, I felt like justified with this. And I have underlined, his faults are not to be, you know, that's tough. The amends to my dad. This was like years in the making, because of all like the perception of my childhood and just like decades of anger. It's just hard to just, I'd be like, oh, okay, it's gone. You know, no, I just, that amends with my dad was work. And I had the most amazing sponsor during this. She told me like, hey, start off with a phone call, one phone call on Sundays. And I was like, nope, I'm not willing to do that. She's like, email. I was like, I can do an email, you know? So literally for months, one email on Sunday. It was just like, hey, hope you're well. Like, it was not like very nice or anything, but hey, the point is, I was willing to do it, I guess. And, you know, and then the emails kind of grew, you know, and after a while, she was like, all right, we're willing to make a phone call. I'm like, all right, I can make a phone call. And then it was like, okay, how about if you see this name pop up, you can answer. And I'm like, ooh, you know, it took years for me not to roll my eyes when I saw my dad's name pop up on my phone. You know, and still when I see it, I have to take a deep breath, you know. But that's how the amends with my dad. So So I literally like with an email, one simple phone call, and then I don't know what other kind of work I had to do, like massive amounts of praying. And by the time my nephew was born, this is how I landmarked that. Like, I think I had like a year and a half with sobriety or something when he was born, because I remember my dad was coming to town to see the baby, you know? And I mean, I'm talking about like, yeah, I hope you don't have it, but if you have those people that you know they're coming into town, you just automatically get nervous and like project like how this is how it's going to be, you know, like am I dead that human for me? And, you know, I had a sponsor like, nope, start praying, get out of the way, blah, blah, blah. You know, maybe this is the time to make your amends, you know, and I was just like, oh, dear God, you know, but long story short, I remember somehow me and my dad were left in a room by ourselves. And I just remember taking this deep breath and I just, here it went. There was no like, hey, I need to talk to you. It was just, because that's how I am. If y'all know me, you know, I'm like, blah, blah, blah. And that's how it was. And he was just sitting, like, I was in a recliner and he was on a couch. So it was like, you know what, 6 feet apart. And I just started telling him, like, this is what I need to do. And blah, 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 here we go. This is how I know I treated you. Like, I was a horrible daughter, like, horrible. Like, can't wait for you and mom to get divorced. Just saying, like, anything I could to hurt this man, because I was so uneasy on the inside. I wanted him to feel like that, too. Like, that is the daughter I was. You know, a couple times I'm pretty sure I tried to put my hands on him, not even drunk. I might have smoked some left-handed cigarettes, but I wasn't even drunk. You know, like that's the daughter that I was. And I made my amends. And here's the beautiful part of it. And I'm kind of, maybe this is a good thing I don't remember. Maybe what I've said to people, maybe that is God like taking over. But here, I did what I was, you know, I did it. And then we left and we met up like 20 minutes later to go to dinner. And I remember walking into this restaurant. He was already in there. And I looked at him in his eyes, smiled, and went in for a hug. And that was the first time in decades that I ever did that. It wasn't forced. It wasn't anything. Like, that is the power of Alcoholics Anonymous and what the steps do. You know, and I remember that moment and I hold on to that moment because I know me. Like, if I don't do the work and keep up that one email or whatever it might be, I'm not going to have those moments. You know, and I know that's how I am. And that's been my experience still with my father. You know, we're like up and down. You know, my sponsor told me once, she's like, Leslie, you've done the work around it. Sometimes it's just not how we think relationships will end up. And I'm like, okay, I can move that. You know what was cool? I called my dad yesterday, like, and we talked for 4 minutes, which is a really long time for us. You know, and it was a decent conversation. And that's another gift of Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, I thought about it for 2 days and I did it. Like, you know, because I missed his call on Friday. I know that's not the best daughter, you know, if you're a dad, but I'm willing, I guess, you know. And then another thing, another amends this reminds me of, when I went to make amends with my sister, I'm so lucky I didn't get into a fight because I was going through the family. Like, I did my mom, somebody else I worked with, and then I was like, all right, sister. And I was like, all right, Ashley, I need to make amends. And she goes, all right, I was wondering when it was my turn. And did that, and I was like, oh, hell no, I'm done now. Like, I don't even want to do it, you know, but something helped me, like, swallow that pride, and I don't remember how that one went either, but, like, I'm just grateful I was willing to do this, because, like, I love what you just shared, Alex. Like, I'm able to show up for my life now, you know, and I don't know if it's because of just, like, step 9 specifically, but, like, I believe people want me in their life today, and I know the only reason that is because of Alcoholics Anonymous, because of what the steps have done for me, you know, like, this really does trickle into my entire life. It's not just about the drinking, you know, it's just not about just the people at the bar I trampled all over, you know, it's about so much more than that, and I'm grateful. Yeah, I'm done with this one. I don't know, we got a couple more sessions, so
thanks, Leslie. Alex?
Thanks, Leslie, that was great. I just think, you know, that most of these like this, when I've created situations where I owe amends and I'm not fond about the person, it actually happened in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, it's not, it's humbling you know, because I am I fancy myself a rule follower and knowledgeable of the rules and how things should run and, you know, all this other stuff. And one of the girls in my home group, she gave them to several of us, but we've got badges about this big that you can pin on your shirt that say AA Police. And I haven't heard that one in a while. But, you know, I've been guilty of that stuff. And, you know, when it's just humbling when I've got to go, you know, and I'm not saying that I'm out of control with it. I'm not. But, you know, when I've called out some semi-new person for saying something the wrong way, or I tell somebody that this needs to be done that way, or, you know, and you can feel it when it's off. I kind of know it when it's coming out, but I'm hoping it doesn't turn out that way, but it does, you know, and I've got to go up to these people and clean that up. You know, I can't, because I know I'm coming back next week. I'm going to see them before next week, because a lot of the people that I'm around are in, and I go to a lot of meetings, are in the same meetings, you know, and it's like, I'm not going through, you know, three more meetings before I get back around to the home group before I address this person. And I know that's not the way I'm supposed to do it anyway, you know? And that's been most of the instances where, and sometimes that stuff is, it's kind of I'm my side of the fence, but it's kind of a two-sided fence situation. That's where I've had most of the experiences of, well, I shouldn't have been doing this, or I shouldn't have been doing that. And what's cool is, the next time I see them, you know, we're maybe not so much now, but we're hugging, you know, or at least shaking hands or bumping elbows or something. And everything is cool, you know, because we all kind of live by the same principles and the same guidelines. And, you know, some of us and I'm sometimes at a deficit. Some of us are more willing than other times to kind of see this stuff through. But over time, I've learned to be relatively prompt about it. I will occasionally sit on something like this, and it's usually based on me feeling like I've been more harmed than harm I've done them, which is not at all what this is about, you know, and I'll call my sponsor up and tell him, and he'll laugh, and, you know, occasionally he'll pocket one and bring it up 3 years later. You know, I'm like, I thought maybe you forgot about that. It's like, I didn't forget about it. You know? And I love that stuff. You know, I mean, I can laugh about that stuff now. I mean, if I had to go through all of this at once in early sobriety, I think I would have exploded. So I'm kind of glad that, you know, it's kind of an ongoing thing, because I don't think I would have survived all of it at once. You know, and I've also been able to realize how important it is not to brush somebody off that may need to make amends for something, you know, and kind of put myself in their shoes and just be willing to listen. You know, I might be wanting to get out the door. I might not necessarily even want to hear them. And maybe I didn't do anything wrong. Maybe I did something wrong. I mean, it's all types of situations, but, you know, because of the God of my understanding, because of you guys and because of Alcoholics Anonymous, I've got to kind of play both sides of that coin. You know, if somebody needs to take care of something, I need to listen to them, you know, and I need to be undistracted in listening to what they have to say instead of just trying to hurry them along. And, you know, AA is awesome. I don't see, at least in the area that I'm in and the people that I hang around, I mean, you get the occasional wild example, but most people that have beefs, next week you wouldn't even know they had a beef. That's all I got for
you. All right. Thank you, Alex. Next section, page 78. Most alcoholics owe money. We do not dodge our creditors. Telling them what we are trying to do, we make no bones about our drinking. They usually know about it anyway, whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism on the theory it may cause financial harm. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal we can let these people know, we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. All right, Leslie?
It's so funny. Like a while ago, I was like, I wish I would have done something wilder. Now that we read that, I'm so glad I didn't, you know, like I'm glad I haven't robbed the bank yet. So I have an experience. Like I know Alex was talking about, like he hopes there would be like a way we can write, like somehow. So I used to drink and drive all the time. I thought it was fun. You know, oh, I can't feel my legs. Let's go. You know, like I'm that girl. Like, I really qualify to be an alcoholic mom. I love what alcohol does to me, how it makes me feel, all of it. So that said, I worked for restaurants, you know, and yes, I learned how to like fake the tip so I would make more money, you know, like typical restaurant. Maybe it's not typical, I don't know. But here's an event, and my point is like the drinking and driving thing, I donated blood for years to try to make that amend, right? So me and my sponsor couldn't figure out how to do that. So that's what we went with. And then I know I did something. Like I put, like there was multiple restaurants in that kind of category and we put them all in one and I did something like picked up litter or did something, you know, like community service wise for this. But for some reason I had this one that was just bunking over and over for years. And what I did was in one of my last drunks at the restaurant I worked for, I taught this girl how to break into the liquor closet that was in the hallway. I'm like, all you gotta do is grab a knife right here from the silverware, try to come to the hallway and just shimmy it right open. And we stole, or as I like to used to say, she took, I just opened the door, she took a case of beer. You know, so basically I taught someone how to break into the liquor cabinet in this restaurant. It was still something. And that bothered me for years. And it wasn't until 2019. I'm like, I need to do something. I want to make amends to the owner who was like also my boss. And like, we worked in the kitchen. And like, I could never put my finger on why this one kept bugging me for, you know, years. And finally, when it just hit me, it just like came to me, you know, yep, my intuitive thought from my HP. Like, this man, he saw more in me when I was 19, 20 years old than I ever saw in myself. Like, he was like, stop saying, dude, you're better than that. Like, I don't know why he didn't like that, but that always just stuck with me. Like, he just saw something in me that I didn't believe that was there, you know? And it wasn't something I could even think about until I was ready to, you know? And I was like, oh, that's why that's bothering me. Like, he actually cared for me. He wanted good things for me, and like he saw potential in me. Even when I was out there doing my thing, like he saw potential in me. And so I remember I was like, I'm going to do it. I spoke to my sponsor about it. She's like, all right, then go do it. You know what to do. I'm like, okay, great. You know, this one I was actually kind of excited for some reason. But by the time I got there, I was like gripping the wheel, hard to get out of my car. But you know what? I did it. And here's the kicker for me. I walked in the front door of that restaurant. So normally my ego gets in the way. I'm like, oh, you haven't been in here for 8 years. You can still act like you run the place. You know, that's the type of girl, a girl I still can be. But I walked in the front door of this restaurant and I saw him. He was up at the bar. Like, hey, how are you? His name was not Brenda. Don't worry. Made amends or like walked in. He didn't recognize me at first, but then he did. You know, he was like, oh, wow, what are you doing here? And we both like sat down at the bar and chit-chat. And I was like, look, this is why I'm here. You know, I need to tell you something I did. And I just started weeping because, I mean, I don't know why, because it actually meant something. I was looking at this man in his eyes and I was telling him how I wronged him. You know, he was just looking at me like, what's going on? And I told him how long I'd been sober and the things I was trying to do. And then I told him what I did. You know, I told him that I taught this girl how to steal, I stole from you, and blah, 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 blah. And he just looked at me. And he started crying a little bit and he was like, it's okay, you know? And I don't even remember what he said, but he was like, it's really okay. Like, I was like, but how can I make this right? How can I make this right? And he said, go have some really good food in Switzerland for me. Cause this was the summer I was going to Europe. And I was like, wait, what? And he was like, just go enjoy your life. Thank you. And I was like, oh my God. Like I was holding on to this for I don't know how many years. And like, he didn't know anything about it. But again, this man just wanted the best for me. Like he wasn't angry, or at least he didn't seem like it, you know? And like in that moment, it was gone. You know, and I was like, okay, because like we chit-chatted, you know, we caught up on life before I made the amends, and he knew I was about to go off to Europe, and he was like, great, go do it. Go keep doing what you're doing. And I was just like, wow, I cannot believe that. And I kept crying and walked out of that restaurant. And I mean, this was one of those moments where Alcoholics Anonymous gave me something that alcohol gave me. Like, I felt 6 feet tall. I held my head high, and I was just like, yay. You know, I am a woman of dignity and grace. I can look the world in the eye. You know, I can do hard things. And more importantly, like, I can stay sober while I'm making things horrible before they actually get here. You know, like, that's so cool. That really is a gift of Alcoholics Anonymous and from you guys, because I didn't come up with this. You guys all did it before me, you know? So thanks.
All right, thank you, Leslie. Alex?
Thanks, Leslie. Another good share. You know, the one of the interesting stories, and I'd forgotten about this a little bit. Like I said, I kind of cleaned up my creditor debts before I got sober. It was that or go to jail. And I've got a folder in my basement, manila folder about that thick, from the collection agency letters, my notes, return checks. You know, I thought I'd hit the jackpot when I found a box of checks on a bank that didn't exist anymore. Because back then you could play beat the bank. And so I'd only get charged one way because the bank didn't exist anymore. You know, but I had paid all that off. But in sobriety, I worked for a very large company for, 17, 18, 19 years. And there were two things that we had to do on occasion. And one was some reports that we had to submit, and the other was expense reports that we had to submit. And we probably traveled on average about three times a year. We'd have a summer conference, kind of a spring conference and a winter conference. And we go all over the place. Could be Arlington, could be Palm Springs, could be Naples, could be New York. I mean, it's and bunches of places in between. And they usually took us to some pretty nice places. So at the end, we'd have to fill this stuff out. And they'd give us a, you know, an amount for breakfast, an amount for lunch, an amount for dinner, and all this other mess. And I'm not, I hate details. You know, I don't like keeping track of things unless it interests me, and this didn't interest me. And, you know, so I would fill these expense reports out and just send them in and these other call reports, and I would just send them in. And, and I told my sponsor about that, and I was getting, I wasn't getting a lot of extra money. I would just make up the name of some place and, you know, that was lunch. This was dinner. You know, the funny thing about it, I eat once a day. I don't eat breakfast, nor do I eat lunch, you know, but I'm eating three meals a day on these trips, you know? So I went to my sponsor and I told him about this stuff, and he goes, man, you're going to have to make amends for that. You're going to have to clean that up. And I'm like, oh God, no, you know? And he let me sit on that. I agreed to do it. I'm like, of course I've got it. And I was going to drive to Connecticut to see my boss, Vern, and tell him what I was doing, you know, what I had done. And then, you know, how can I make this right? I had no idea what the amount, it wasn't an enormous amount, but it was something. And, he called me back, my sponsor did, the next day. And he goes, listen, he goes, I was thinking about this, and you know, other guys, and then they're going to start looking at things and you're putting them on the line and you're not conferring with them. He's like, you got to find another way to do this. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. This is just what happened. So I'm like, okay. So for a long period of time, when I went on trips, there were certain things we could expense, including meals. I didn't submit any expense. You know, I never sent in, you know, they, hey, do you have it? Nope, don't have any expenses. You know, so I did, and I'm sure that it balanced out numerically. But, you know, that was kind of without maybe exposing some other people. That was the only way I could do it. One other thing I wanted to talk about real quick, because I know we're running out of time. When going back to the eighth step, when I make this list and I talk to my sponsor and I'm getting kind of this order thing going, and it talks a little bit about there's maybe events we can't make, you know, and there was one that I couldn't make. And it was one that was important to me to make because I really feel like I harmed this person. It was a girl that I had dated, and I'm not going to go into a bunch of details. It wasn't anything law breaking. But I felt like I'd really harmed in a certain kind of way. And I felt terrible, but really bad. Probably one of the worst, feeling bad about one of the worst things I did, even though on paper, it wouldn't be breaking anything. He's like, man, he goes, what's her situation? I said, well, she's married and she's got a couple of kids. And he said, what right do you have to go into her life so that you feel better and just, you know, like drop a bomb right in the middle of whatever's going on there? He goes, if you're supposed to do that, God will provide an opportunity. You just stay willing, you know, where it talks about we pray for willingness and that kind of thing. And I'm here to tell you, you know, 7 years later, I got a phone call right after Serenity Weekend when I was sitting by the fireplace late at night, and it was that girl, and she called me. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do? You know, I can't call my sponsor. I didn't even have a cell phone back then, you know, and it was my very first experience with that I can recall praying to the God that I was developing a relationship with and getting an answer. Do the best you can. You know, so I'm trying to set up this meeting, and she kind of pulls it out of me. You know, I bring your husband, we'll have a cup of coffee, meet you at Joe's and down in the fan and all this other stuff. And she's like, well, you know, just pressing me. And finally I was like, look, you know, here's the deal. Her reply to me was, we were just kids, you know, and I'd been walking around with this, like I felt like the worst thing I'd ever done, you know, but the beauty of it was that eventually I got to make it, but I had to wait, you know, and that was a really powerful experience, having it sort of materialize that way. And ironically, it was 2 weeks before I got married. I'll pass.
All right. Thank you, Alex. And that will run us out of time for this evening. Alex, Leslie, thank you both so much for your shares. Great to hear you both this evening. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that thinks that. We will move on to announcements. David Early in the meeting posted the Simple Actions PayPal link in the chat for the seventh tradition. Are there any other announcements? Tough crowd, not all at once, people. All right, Simple Actions is a home group. Home group members, please raise your hand. If you are interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting to connect with any of the folks that had their hands raised. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, someone will be available in the Zoom room after we close the meeting. Please stick around to talk with us or feel free to email info@simpleactions.net with questions. And let's see, Grant, would you be willing to read A Vision for You? I'll put it up.
I'm Grant. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Grant.
A Vision for You, Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thanks for letting me read.
Thanks, Grant. Really appreciate it, buddy. All right. And where's that old format? All right. Well, thank you again to everybody that participated this evening. I believe everybody now has the ability to unmute themselves to participate in the Lord's Prayer, and we'll give everybody a chance to say thank you to our speakers after that. Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be
thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
power, and the glory,
forever and ever. Amen.
Woohoo!
Back. It works.
Thanks, you too.